In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thanksgiving Day is a loaded cultural icon of socioeconomic location and one's place in American culture. The turkey, the football games, the parades, the pumpkin pies, an idyllic image of whole families coming together to feast over the bounty of the harvest year, of boats and pilgrims and Native Americans all gathered together in peace and harmony, and isn't this all very lovely? Except it masks darker truths, truths not talked about or hidden away. What if the harvest that is hoped for doesn't come? What if you're a parent who says Thanksgiving is at the shelter this year, or there's no Thanksgiving dinner tonight? Does this mean that parent is reaping what they have sown? This family is getting what they deserve? Paul seems to imply this in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who reaps bountifully will also reap bountifully. But even so, Paul must be setting the stage to lead us in another direction, toward another way of understanding God's abundance, especially in times of need. Instead, could this passage be about us, the us who should and be able to give plentifully? A reminder to love God, and out of this love for God comes our love for our neighbors, a rendering of great generosity. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Paul is taking the listeners on a journey of questioning. Where is it they believe their bread, their seeds of life, come from? What is the cost and consequence of not giving? And how what we offer to others matters to God. As we begin to explore and reflect on what we have to give and why we give what we give, if this giving comes from our hearts, if it is given to glorify the Lord, then the natural outspring of this will be genuine love for others. The emotions we will experience will feel deeply right and good. And it is this sense of righteousness and goodness that will lead us and multiply our efforts. It will be a rendering that sustains one through each harvest year with thankful hearts. The gospel passage has Jesus on a journey towards Jerusalem while passing between a region of Samaria and Galilee. And along the way, Jesus encounters 10 lepers. Lepers are social outcasts, cursed, unclean. They had to live in colonies outside of towns and could not approach people except from a distance. So knowing they can't approach Jesus, they start to shout at him, "Have mercy on us!" Somehow these 10 lepers have heard about this master who can miraculously heal people. And if this Jesus can heal others, then just maybe he can heal them too. Jesus pauses, looks at the 10 lepers, asks them no questions, doesn't berate them for who they are or how their lives suddenly fell apart when they became ill with leprosy. Jesus simply tells them to go, show themselves to the priests. Because for the lepers, only the priests can deem them clean and able to return to society. And a wondrous thing happens. The lepers, they don't question. Maybe they looked at each other in awe, hope, a little fear, but they do it. They begin to head towards the priest who can change their social status, provide them with entry back into the lives they once knew. One, though, he stops in his tracks because he has just looked down and sees that his hands, his feet, he sees that he has been healed. That's when he turns around and shouts praises to God as loudly as he can. He is stunned and grateful. This leper makes his way back as quickly as he can to Jesus, and he falls at Jesus' feet, and he says, "Thank you, thank you." This is where Luke introduces Jesus' own stunned reaction. A Samaritan and a foreigner has recognized Jesus as the inbreaking of God's kingdom. Luke is reminding us that Jesus came to bring salvation to everyone. Jew and Gentile, known and foreigner, there is no other in God's kingdom. How often is it the stranger or the guest who points out to us what we have stopped seeing? How often is it the stranger that helps us remember why it is we participate in the ministries that we do? The newcomer who hears with new ears, sees with new eyes, and heartily says, "Thank you." How often is it the stranger that reminds us what it is we have to be thankful for? And isn't that the crux of why we come together once a year? On this day of Thanksgiving, to remember and be reminded of God's grace and bounty in our lives. It is easy to become like the other nine. They go and do as Jesus says, and they are healed too. But the doing, where does it come from? Does it come from solely a sense of duty? Is this doing out of compulsion? Or is it because we are able to look down at our hands and feet and see something miraculous? See that we are and have always been the body of Christ. And can we too fall on our knees before Christ and praise God for the bounty we receive and are about to receive at Christ's table? Amen.